You know, I was watching the news on Wednesday. There was a story about the record gas prices. At the time, out in Vancouver, it was $1.83, highest in the country. They've surpassed $2 in Vancouver. I know, for example, with us in Calgary and Edmonton, it's not the same. It's simply because the level of taxation in other provinces or other places in North America isn't as high. I mean, Vancouver's got the highest form of gas taxes in North America, ergo the highest price. But now, of course, as I say, the $2 mark. The man filling up, though, asked, how much more can we take? Well, I don't know, but I do know we're about to find out. The cold reality is that higher prices have been consequences of the war on fossil fuels and the decommissioning of things like nuclear power. That's despite the reality that a power grid based on renewables is still, well, anywhere, one, two decades away from being a viable replacement. Heck, you know, think about this. For all the talk about renewables, we can't even do solar energy without getting the majority of the panels manufactured with slave labor in Zhejiang province. And now Ukraine, obviously making problems worse. But make no mistake, the problems in the energy market were already apparent. I mean, well before Ukraine, we had record gas prices. We had the UK, Europe, China saw massive increases in natural gas prices. And oil had traded well above the 80s and into the 80s before the invasion. But why? Here's an answer that's going to be uncomfortable for many to acknowledge. We replace critical thinking with virtue signaling. Let that sink in. We celebrated virtue signaling without any critical thinking. We allowed talking a good game to replace playing one. Now, you may disagree, and that's fine. But tell me about it, by the way, when you're paying $2.25 a liter or $3 a liter. Tell me about how that's okay. The problem is, we don't have practical discussions on climate change and renewable energy. They're part of the no questions allowed agenda. And actually, it's worse than that. So many of our policies don't even make sense. Come on, think about this. On the day President Biden canceled Keystone XL, it seemed like, what, just a few moments later, he was begging OPEC to increase oil production? That didn't make sense. Within weeks of the much-ballyhooed COP26 in November in Glasgow, well, the UK, Germany, and France were already backing away from their commitments almost before the ink was dry because they were unrealistic, unacceptably expensive. 1 week after COP26, the Biden administration, I mean, I laugh at this, announced the plans to sell leases to oil and gas companies on more than 80 million acres in the Gulf of Mexico, which the government's own analysis said, hey, that could generate up to 1.1 billion barrels of oil, 4.4 trillion cubic feet of natural gas in the coming decades. My point is that we don't even have common sense when it comes to climate change and renewable energy and energy policy in general. Everything we're seeing in the energy market is a direct result of ill-conceived, short-sighted, ideologically driven energy policy. Now, I'm going to give you a shocking example that's front and center right now in the Ukraine invasion. And that is Germany's overriding reliance and Europe's on Russian gas and to a lesser extent, its coal and oil. But it's a key consideration. It's maybe the key consideration in deciding the response to the Russian aggression. I mean, think about this. While Russia dramatically expanded oil and gas production, Putin already was also expanding the country's nuclear power. Why? Because it enabled it to increase oil and gas exports to Europe. Because at the same time, we had Europe led by Germany. Well, they're doing things like decommissioning nuclear power, eliminating fossil fuels, substituting renewables, but without adequate backup power when the wind doesn't blow, sun doesn't shine. I mean, incompetent doesn't do it justice. Putin clearly knew what he was doing. But obviously, Angela Merkel, who was shutting down German nuclear power, fossil fuel production, along with the rest of Europe, didn't know what they were doing. I'm going to talk more about this in my shocking stat, and I promise it is shocking. But let me finish with a question. If the pivotal role that oil and gas are playing in the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Emma, think about that. Think about the oil price increases from maybe May 2020, but also more recently from November 2021. If the disastrous energy price hikes in EU, UK, in the fall, which exposed the limits of wind and solar. If record gasoline prices, and of course the knock-on impact of fertilizer due to higher natural gas prices, well, if that isn't a wake-up call to politicians, climate activists, COP26 attendees, of the need for a workable and realistic plan to transition to renewable energy. Well, I shudder to think what it'll take. And unfortunately, I think we're going to find out. I don't think we're there yet, because I don't see any indication that any of our leaders or the climate activists get the damage they've done by pushing for disinvestment, for no growth in fossil fuel production, by decommissioning nuclear without replacement power. I mean, it's incredible. And this is all while demand is actually rising. You don't need a PhD to figure out that prices are going to go up. And I can't help but think about the complicity of so many in the mainstream media who literally cheerleaded for unrealistic, unworkable climate agendas, whose main characteristic continues to be superficiality and delusion. I appreciate that's difficult for a lot of us to digest, given we've been relentlessly assaulted by one specific energy narrative. Fossil fuels bad. Let's get rid of fossil fuels right now, without any discussion of such mundane specifics like, hey, where are you getting the cobalt, the copper, the lithium, let alone the costs? Fundamentals like what will happen to prices if production remains flat or falls as demand for energy is rising. It's rising. It's not falling, as climate activists erroneously state. Newsflash, India, South Asia, countries in Africa are going to use more energy, more oil, coal, natural gas. And yes, they also will develop renewables and maybe nuclear in some instances like India. But it's not going to be near fast enough to meet demand. Now, it's not easy to look at the energy transition differently from what the prevailing narrative is. And maybe you're having a problem, and many will. But maybe, just maybe, if you pay $2.50, $3 a liter at the pump, or when your natural gas or home heating oil costs go up, what, 2-3 times faster than your paycheck, then maybe we'll see the need for a realistic, practical discussion on energy policy. And it's not going to be a straight line. I mean, we all hope and pray that the situation in Ukraine will resolve, well, it's too late for peacefully, but resolve quickly. Then we can get some relief on all of these fronts. But the long-term trends in place, what Ukraine has done is exacerbated those trends.